Well, good morning and welcome to Saintville Road Presbyterian Church on this, the third Sunday of January 2021. We're still in the middle of lockdown, and so we're online and we're live streaming from the church today and for the next few weeks. If you're live with us now this morning, it's great to have you with us. If you're watching later or if you're visiting us virtually, do equally feel part of our worship together. I'm Ben Walker, the minister here, and we're a family of God's people here in South Belfast who seek to worship and follow Jesus Christ. As we begin, let's hear some words from Scripture to draw us away from every other concern and focus our minds and hearts on Jesus. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven.
To
Let's pray together. Loving God, King of Kings, we gather where we are to listen to you, to seek you, to worship you. Lord God, you make the sun rise and set. You give us food to eat, places to live, people to love. Every good gift comes from you. You are always with us. You are faithful from generation to generation. Lord God of heaven, in you we live and in you we have hope. Father, for all your love and goodness, we're sorry for the many times we have ignored you and chosen to go our own ways. For the times we've hurt others, even those we love. For the times we were unkind and impatient with those who needed our time and concern. The times we've been too weak to stand up for what was right. Father, we have sinned. Forgive us. And yet, because of Jesus, as we have sung, we are assured that there is no sin so terrible that you cannot forgive, no hurt so terrible that you cannot heal. You accept, you forgive, and you set free. Lord God, assure us of your love, and as you do, move among us by your Spirit. Open our eyes of faith that we may see you. Unstop our ears that we may hear you. Make our minds ready to know you better and our hearts tender to receive you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, let me just fill you in with a few details on what is going on and what's coming up over the next few weeks. First of all, life groups are beginning again this week. Some may have started to meet already, and that's great. And of course, it can't be in person. It'll be on Zoom if that's possible for you. But if you're in a life group, I'm sure your leaders will be in touch about when and what and Zoom details. If you're not yet in a life group and would like to be, and they provide a real chance for deepening friendship and fellowship and praying and growing as disciples together, well then, let me know, or at least speak to someone you know who is in one. Well, the pattern for weeks up till Easter, and hopefully this is on the screen, Chris, is it? The pattern for weeks up till Easter is hopefully going to look a bit like this. Every other week, beginning from last Sunday, Red, that's our youth fellowship, they meet on a Sunday evening, and then during those weeks, there'll also be a prayer Zoom gathering. The details are there, and they're the same each time. So let me encourage you to come along to that. It's simply a 40-minute Zoom time with a few prayer points and people praying together on Zoom. And you can pray out loud or just be quiet and pray along with others. But all that's going on in our church and in our society and in our world, do come along. Prayer is the powerhouse of church. And then on alternate weeks, life groups, including both our young adults life groups, will meet on various nights from Sunday to Wednesday. And on each of those Wednesdays, like this week coming up, there'll be a prayer video online. Now, that might be me or someone else leading a short devotional to help us pray with some prayer points. Or we may hear from people involved in different wider church and mission activities to help us pray for them. So that's what our week looks like, lockdown or no lockdown. Also, even in lockdown, the church is open on Tuesday and Friday mornings for dropping off food for Storehouse. Please keep that going. I was hearing on the radio this morning just how much of a need that is at the moment. As well as storehouse, we received a letter from Keith Preston, who runs the International Meeting Point that you may well know in South Belfast, talking about the incredible increase of people coming, especially from the Middle East, to the International Meeting Point looking for essential items. So maybe we could help out with general toiletries, bedding, and particularly clothes for young men, jumpers, jeans, coats, t-shirts. If you've got any of those, or you could provide any of those, you could also bring that and leave that at the church on a Tuesday and Friday. Put it in a bag, mark it with International Meeting Point or IMP, and we'll make sure it gets there. Thank you. Now, there's also an opportunity coming up to do an alpha course, both particularly for young adults, and there's also a standard one. They're being run by Low Memorial Presbyterian, but our David Timothy is involved with that, and here he is with a little bit of info.
What is life all about? Who is Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? Very soon there will be another two alpha courses running on Zoom, which answer questions like these. One will be specifically for young adults, which will be starting from Tuesday, the 26th of January, and another standard alpha starting from Thursday, the 28th of January. Each session starts at 7:30 p.m. and lasts until around 9 p.m. We would love if you could join us, and if you fancy inviting a friend along and doing the alpha course with them, that would be great. The evenings are relaxed and informal and involves watching a video with a short discussion afterwards. Anyone can take part, faith or no faith. It is very accessible. If you have any questions about the course or are interested in signing up, feel free to get in touch with myself through email or giving me a call.
Thanks, David, for that. There's obviously quite a bit going on, but don't forget, as well as all of that, keep reading and listening to Mark's Gospel. We're 12 days through on our recordings, and I'm really grateful for all those who've done those, and I've got a few more in the bag, but I could do with just a few more willing readers to take us through to the end. So young people, children, older people, people in between, I'm looking at you. But most importantly, do listen or read along. And whether you've kept up or not, or have your own pace, do just keep going and enjoy reading this book of Mark all the way through to the end. Now, Jill has been busy this week getting a copy of this book. It's called The Best News Ever. It's readings of Mark's Gospel to lots of our younger families. And I'm really grateful for Jill for getting that out to lots of our younger families. And if you don't have a copy and you're a family and you'd like one, please be in touch. Now, there's a video with Jill on the website using a reading from this that fits alongside our reading today. And at the end, listen to Jill's suggestion about how over the next few weeks, when there's no ARC or Sunday picnic, rather than us putting up more videos of Jill or others reading it, parents and children together could use this book to meet with Jesus. But that's enough talk about reading Mark's Gospel. Let's actually hear it read now. And Ed Patterson is going to do that for us.
Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Well, thanks to Ed, and I'm really grateful to all those who read and pray and play and press all the right buttons and are involved in our services and in organizing others to do these things. Having heard Ed read from God's Word then, Jean McClune is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us come to pray together. Father God, we come as frail, imperfect people before you, our strong and compassionate God, the one who desires the company of his children and who has made that possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. Father, we come as a people often bewildered and anxious when we listen to our news bulletins. Thank you that your word reminds us that even rulers and authorities are subject to you. We pray for those that have responsibility for decision making, whether on the world stage, in their own country, in their workplace, or in their church or family. Give each a special portion of resilience and stamina, and we are reminded that you have told your people, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so we dare to ask that you will give humility to your people, your followers, in positions of authority and influence, and that they will seek your abundant wisdom. Give them graciousness of speech and help them with resilience of mind and body. This morning we come as a people, many of whom are weary, frustrated, even overwhelmed, and in need of your arms of love and comfort. Whilst we have much to be thankful for, days can be tough and nights long and lonesome. Your word includes stories of people and prayers of those people with all those emotions. Remind us afresh that your mercies are new every day and to place our trust in you each day, depending on your promises. Help us each to pay our part, living at peace with others as far as that depends on us. Give us a spirit of perseverance, of patience, of cooperation, and of compassion. Father God, we come as people who are thankful for those who have provided a way for us to hear and better understand your story. Thankful for those who have pointed to Jesus and through your Spirit drawn us to you, to him. Thank you for those you have used to storytell, both in the written word so long ago, and those who helped to bring that story to us in our own language, and those who help us to understand and apply it through the spoken word, through Bible reading notes and aids, through life groups, through song and drama. We come individually and as a church family to thank you as children, as young people, as adults for their faithfulness and help in our lives and in our walk with you. We bring to you those within our church family whom you have entrusted here to share your word and your love, to draw people into your family and to equip your church. We bring Ben, Johnny and Jill here in Saintfield Road, Gordon in Union College, Johnny in Youth for Christ, Alf with Wycliffe, and Joanne with Biblica. In so many ways, for each work life has changed, yet your love and story does not. We ask for your favour to rest on them as they prepare, and for your Spirit's enabling and your protection on them, and for their private walk with you. Help us each to play our part in sharing your word, whether as storytellers ourselves or in support of those who do, and by your grace, help us not only to be hearers of the word, but doers also, so that we may grow in your likeness. Father God, we come as a people who are amongst the richest portion of our world citizens. We thank you for generously providing all that we have and that we are free to worship you. Thank you for those that seek to share God's love and compassion for those in poorer countries and for refugees, both in practical ways and with the good news of the gospel. As they work in line with your heart of compassion, we ask for your presence with them and for wisdom and integrity as they work in many different world regimes and cultures. Help us each to play our part generously and willingly by prayer, through volunteering and in giving, that others' needs will also be met. Specifically today, we remember those from our own fellowship whom you have placed overseas. John and Brita in Japan, thank you for the safe arrival of Marcus, and as we share in their joy, we pray for them as they adapt to being a family of four. We ask for refreshment for John as he has a period of leave, for increasing strength for Barita and for their two little boys, that they will grow strong, healthy and content. We ask for your guidance for them as they consider where and what they will do in next year's home assignment. As the COVID situation worsens in Japan, we pray for protection for them. We also remember the work in Bangalore and Heather here at home at present. We pray for that country and the changes happening in schools and orphanages. We pray for those still working there and pray that the remote help that Heather and others have been enabled to provide may be used for the good of children and young people in that society. We also pray for Gerald and Louise in Kenya, recognising the enormous strain that COVID has played on the economy of so many in that nation, in their own plans and lives, and in the work of iServe. We have been thankful for the signs that COVID seems at last to be retreating there, and we pray for that nation as numbers appear to be rising again. As Gerald and Harrison have sought this week to plan ahead for their programmes, give them discernment, creativity and wisdom. And for the students whose experience has been so very different in this past year, we pray that you will have been at work in their lives in perhaps imperceptible ways, but for the advancement of your kingdom. Help us to play our part through encouragement, prayer and ongoing support. Father God, we come as a people acutely aware that we are not in control of our world and that so many are struggling with worry, loneliness, work and financial pressures. Thank you that we can affirm, as you have reminded us again and again in your word, that you are God with us. You're in our situations, not as an absent landlord or an onlooker. Isaiah reminds us, he tends his flock as a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He leads those that have young. Today we remember especially those for whom the last week's work has been oppressive and look to next week with dread. Thank you especially for our frontline staff, for so many who selflessly care, who go the second, third and fourth mile. And we pray for them, especially those from our own church family, for rest at the end of a day, for skill and stamina as they work, for resilience, for patience, for kindness and compassion in their interactions with others, and for your hand of protection over them. Help them and us to play our part and to place our trust in you in each new day, depending on your promises. Father, we come as a people thankful for the people that you've brought into our lives to journey with us, at different times to laugh with, to support or be a support, to encourage, to weep with, to cajole or to comfort. We each quietly in our homes and in our hearts bring to you those that we love and care for and those who have needs you've placed on our hearts, especially asking for your help, your comfort and above all a sense of your presence with them at this time, taking refuge under the shelter of your wings. Help us to play our part, being your hands, your feet, albeit in more creative ways, to be a conduit of your love and your peace. Father, we bring our thanks and bring all these things, asking that you provide according to your perfect love and will, and in and through your Son, our dear Saviour, Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thanks to Jean for leading us in our prayers. And in the spirit of such prayer, and before we come to look further at that passage from Mark chapter 1 that Ed read for us, we're going to sing, "My Hope Rests Firm on Jesus Christ."
Oh, lockdown day. I got up, then I had breakfast. After everything was cleared away, I made a start on my work, writing my sermon. I then had lunch and left the house for a walk. Just then, I had an idea for my sermon.
Well, this was a P6 task this week in homeschool. I wonder what your lockdown day report would look like. Mine's far from thrilling. It's certainly not the well-written book of Mark, with its powerful use of words and drawing on Old Testament pictures that we've already seen so far. But Mark is also very straightforward. He uses the same sort of simple techniques that you might see on any homeschool lockdown report. Obviously, it's not as basic and certainly not as dull as this. But if you've been reading or listening to a bit of Mark already, then you'll know that Mark keeps things moving. This happened, then this happened. And he can skip through long periods of time in just a few words. And he often goes easy on detail. But then he'll pick out certain things that he wants you to notice. So grab a Bible and look at this passage with me. Verse 14. After John was put in prison. After, says Mark very simply, but he's drawing a line under John's ministry. We've had the introduction that we saw last week, and now Mark puts John out of the spotlight, and the focus is on Jesus and his ministry. Now, it didn't necessarily happen quickly and neatly following Jesus' time in the wilderness, and other gospel writers have more to say about John at this point and the things that went on. But Mark's point is simply this, that John's role and message, pointing to the one who would come, is over, now that that time and that person has come. The Old Testament prophets prepared and looked forward, and John was in that line, says Mark. But now, the fulfillment is here. But it is striking, the almost throwaway detail that Mark puts in here. After John was put in prison. Now, if we're first-time readers of this story, we may not have seen that coming. In prison? Really? What for? Mark must presume his first readers back at the time know something of this, because he doesn't explain here what's gone on, although later in chapter 6 he puts a bit sort of in brackets that's relevant to what he's saying then that explains John's imprisonment. It seems John has said things to Herod about his lifestyle that Herod didn't like. But the whole in prison thing leaves an edge to the story here. John, like many prophets before him, has fallen foul of the establishment with his faithful preaching of God's truth. The message of God has a social and political edge. Now, we enjoy wonderful freedom to preach faithfully about Jesus in these days and in this place. Well, at the moment we do. But we're somewhat unique in this time and place, aren't we? For many readers of Mark's gospel through history, and even today, around the world, preaching about Jesus and repentance is dangerous and could get you banged up. We should prayerfully remember that as we begin looking at this radical good news. And as the story goes on and Jesus follows on from John, a reader might wonder, well, will Jesus be a bit more careful and politically correct than John was? Is Jesus and his message meek and mild? Or will he too find trouble? Well, Jesus relocates, we see in verse 14, away from the Judean wilderness and back home north to Galilee, which probably keeps him away, at least for a bit, from the trouble that John has caused around Jerusalem. And Galilee is where the action is going to take place for the next while, where Jesus, like John, is going to be preaching. Well, here Mark gives us a headline summary of what Jesus is about, his ministry, his work. It's summed up in just a few words. Jesus' first words, in fact, in Mark's gospel. Now, he surely said more, but these words sum up his message that Mark is going to expand on for us in the chapters that follow. So we learn that Jesus is proclaiming the gospel, this great announcement from God, the good news of God. Mark said from the start that it's about Jesus, and Jesus seems to center it on his coming. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Here it is. Here's the kingdom, he says, with me. Here's the plans and the promise and the prophecy, all leading up to this moment. Here with me is the kingdom of God, the rule and blessing of God as king. Now, we talked about this a bit in our Bible overview in the term before Christmas. And Mark will also have lots to show us about the kingdom. However we understand it, at least in part, here it is in Jesus. And this is the gospel. A very simple and profound announcement that Jesus is bringing God's kingdom, God's rule over all. It's interesting to note, isn't it, that Jesus isn't primarily preaching that the good news is that God loves you or that he's going to die for you. Although these are really important parts of it, as Mark is going to show us. Jesus' good news that he preaches, the gospel, is simply but profoundly that God's kingdom is here and it's coming as promised. And the good news comes with a call to respond to that announcement that the king and his kingdom are here. And the response is this: repent. That is, turn your mind and your heart away from the wrong things you're focused on and fixed on, and believe this good news that God's kingdom is here to be established in Jesus. That is the call of the kingdom. Jesus will, of course, say a lot more. There's so much involved in the good news, and he'll show it in many ways. But at heart, it's very simple, as Mark summarizes it for us. Jesus is bringing God's kingdom, with all the challenge that brings to how things are in this world and how things are in you and me. Jesus has come to rule as God's king. It's happening. It's an announcement of it happening, whether we like it or not. And Jesus' point is that we need to respond to this. And there's no two ways about it. You need to turn from ignoring this most vital truth with your head in the sand and your heart elsewhere, says Jesus, and embrace it as the greatest news. What are you going to do about that? Asks Mark. Asks Jesus from the outset. And right here and now, to you and me. Now, Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. And as I said, a bit like my lockdown day report, he covers a lot of ground in brief sentences, keeping the story moving at pace and often sparing the detail. So we should appreciate that things didn't necessarily happen as quickly or instantaneously as we sometimes think when we read his story. The other gospel writers sometimes give us more detail. So when Jesus has Mark on the move around the Sea of Galilee and calling these four disciples, we don't actually need to imagine that it is out of the blue and that's the first time he's seen them or the first time they've ever heard of him. The other gospels indicate that it's not. Simon and Andrew have heard Jesus and they've checked him out before. Whatever we make of discipleship here, and Mark gives us an amazing pattern for it that we'll see, Mark's not suggesting that it can't involve spending time investigating Jesus' claims, like at Alpha, for example. But though Mark moves in quick, broad strokes, he does at times slow down or pause to give a little detail. And that should all the more cause us to think, what is it that Mark is wanting to share with us in giving us this detail, in slowing down and focusing? What's he wanting us to see and get each time he goes into a little more focus? So, having given us the big summary statement of the good news Jesus is preaching, the call of the kingdom, he now particularly focuses on Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee and encountering four men. And here we get to see Jesus' message take personal effect. And we get to see what it means to respond and follow him. Let's take two things about following Jesus, about discipleship, about the call of the kingdom from this. So the first thing is that we hear the call of the kingdom, which is this: come, follow me. Jesus is a man on a kingdom mission, and he's calling people to be God's kingdom people. He's gathering a people. One thing Mark makes clear is that this isn't really about individuals choosing someone to be their teacher or their guru or their mentor. Like you or I might do some research and decide who's going to be my music teacher or my driving instructor or my academic supervisor. Or like people in those days chose which rabbi, which teacher they wanted to follow. No, Mark makes it clear it's the other way around. Jesus is calling them, calling us. Now, people search for God and they go and investigate the claims of religion and of Jesus, and that's good and right. But let's be clear, ultimately, it's the King who is coming, gathering, calling people to himself. Maybe today he's calling you. Come, follow me, he says. And that is a great definition of a Christian, of a disciple that Mark is giving to us, a follower of Jesus. Christians are people who follow in Jesus' footsteps, who walk with him and learn from him, who learn to be like him. There is much vital truth involved in the Christian faith, but it is not ultimately a set of beliefs that we sit and assent to, but a person we follow, a person we are captivated by and in whom we put our hope. I'm bringing the kingdom, says Jesus. Come, follow me. Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people, says Jesus. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's casting his net and he's pulling people from their old reality into his new one. And at the same time, he's calling these guys to something totally new as they follow him, as they fish not like they used to, but like Jesus, as they become disciple-making disciples, as they call others to follow him. And there's something lovely in these words, because these are ordinary guys. They're neither particularly rich nor poor. They've got certain skills, and Jesus is calling them into kingdom life. Something new, but in terms that they understand as fishers of people. Calling them to bring the God-given gifts and skills they have, but to be used for him. He's not calling them to be something they're not made to be. He's calling them to be who they are made to be with him and for him. Come, follow me. and I'll make you fishers of people. It's that call to follow the most captivating, challenging, life-giving person of all, who knows exactly who we are and knows exactly who he's calling us to be. Do you hear that call? Come, follow me. And so, having heard the call of the kingdom, come follow me, Mark's secondly saying to us, respond to the call. Mark shows us we don't need to have everything together, but we do need to respond and let everything else go under the priority of following Jesus. So these men, Simon and Andrew, James and John, however much they had or hadn't investigated Jesus or heard him before, they certainly didn't know everything about him. They had so much to learn. They had so many questions. They had so much they didn't get and wouldn't get for ages. So many mistakes that they would make. We'll see it all in the story as Mark tells it to us. Often people think they need all their questions answered before they'll take that step to follow Jesus. But these guys were just gripped by Jesus. Whoever they thought he was, whatever they made of him at that stage. And all of us who are disciples have plenty of unanswered questions yet. But the point is, we've been captivated by Jesus, who's called us to follow him. And that is what changes. That is what converts people. Not having all their questions answered, but encountering Jesus. Your questions don't need to hold you back. Just see and hear Jesus here. Say, come, follow me. And so we hear Simon and Andrew responded immediately. Now, if you've read or heard a bit of Mark's gospel, you may have heard already that word immediately, or words like it, at once, without delay, verses 18 and 20 here. There's one word behind all of those that's one of Mark's favorite words, and he uses it lots. It's actually there in verse 10 and in verse 12, as well as here in verse 18 and verse 20, and it'll come up another 40 times or so, far more than anyone else in the Bible uses it. But although we often translate this word immediately or at once, it doesn't always mean right at that moment. Often Mark uses it a bit like we use then, simply to keep the story moving and show what happens next, even though quite a bit of time might actually have passed. Then this happened, then this happened. Or once this happened, well, then this happened. With Mark, it's actually showing the next thing of significance he wants to tell us about. Immediately here kind of means, well, look at this now. But sometimes it does have a sense of something happening immediately, right now. Like we might also use then to mean just then, right then, at that immediate moment. And here in verse 18, as the disciples responded to Jesus, Mark's wanting to give a sense that they made their response there and then. No more delay. Now, people will be slow to respond to Jesus' words at other times in Mark's gospel, and some people will not respond at all, as we'll see. But here you get the impression that whatever thinking and weighing up these guys had done, the call of the kingdom was before them. And right then and there, they said, we will follow. I remember at university, a guy a year or two above me who'd been investigating Christianity for a while. And I remember him coming along to church as he got into the habit of doing. And one Sunday, he was there and he was sitting beside me in the pew. And at the end of the service, he simply turned to me and he said, right there and then, "Ben, I'm going to do it." That was his there and then moment. "I will follow." The call to come follow Jesus is before us all. And if we haven't responded, the moment is now. Following Jesus does mean, however, Mark shows us, letting go of everything else. Simon and Andrew let go of their nets. James and John let go of their father and their business. Work, family, things they'd found identity in, all are let go to follow Jesus. Now, in one sense, they physically probably did leave and follow Jesus at that moment. But the picture Mark wants to leave with us is not kind of Zebedee and some of the employees abandoned forever in a boat. Mark's not saying these guys abandoned all these things, never to see or do them again. Simon is back with his mother-in-law before the end of the chapter. The point is, all of these things, work, wealth, family, identity, all now falls under the priority of following Jesus. As we hear the call of the kingdom and respond, we loosen our grip on all these things that we may follow Jesus and let him shape our attitude to everything. Let me end with some words of a familiar hymn. "In simple trust, like those who heard beside the Syrian sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us, like them, obey his word. Rise up and follow me." May we respond and continue to respond with our lives as we hear the call of the kingdom to follow the King today.
Let's pray together for a moment. Father God, we hear in Jesus' words the call of the kingdom. Help us, like those disciples, to respond to that call. Lord, as we keep reading through Mark's gospel, help us to see more and more of what Jesus is like. Not just so that we can know more information about him, but Lord Jesus, so that we can get to know you as a real person, the one we can trust and follow. In your name we pray. Amen. We close as we sing, "Hear the Call of the Kingdom."
Of how God rich in mercy came in. light with the mercy of heaven, the humility of Christ, walking justly before him, loving all that is right, that the light of Christ may shine through us. King of heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. Hear the call of the kingdom to reach out to the lost with the Father's compassion in the wonder of the cross, bringing peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Let the nations put their trust in
Well, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain upon us forevermore. Amen.